Revelation chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 7 through 12. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So we pray. Father, we pray now that as thou hast given us thy word by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, thou wouldst use at this time the ministry of the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, cause us to see the truth of God. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Astronomers say that there are thousands of millions of planets. In fact, as they look up into the stars, into the skies, and look at the stars, what they sometimes thought was one star turns out to be, on the contrary, a huge group of stars. And you remember, as we were studying a few weeks ago, God told Abraham that he would make his seed as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of the heavens. So that means that there must be millions and millions of planets up there in our heavens, many of which we cannot even see. And the first thing that occurs to us, are these useless? Are they all without inhabitants? Are there other beings? Now, I believe Scripture tells us very clearly, first of all, that the heavens are inhabited. In Revelation 12:12 that we just read, we are told, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. There are those who dwell in the heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And so there are earth dwellers, and there are heavenly dwellers, inhabitants of the heavens. We read also in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him, by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And so we find out that God has created heavenly beings as well as earthly beings, principalities and powers and thrones, not only on earth, but also in the heavens. Also we read in Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 21, Isaiah 24:21, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. God is going to judge not only the kings of the earth, God is going to judge the powers of the heavens. And so I believe Scripture is quite clear that there are beings outside of this earth on which we live. I believe also Scripture is clear that they have access to the earth. Some of you saw perhaps a few weeks ago in the paper, the design of Joseph Blomrick, who claims that Ezekiel's description in his book of Ezekiel's wheels actually was a spaceship, as he put the information into the computer and got a spaceship out of it. Whether that's authentic or not, I don't know. But I do know that Scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was about to be taken and crucified, told his disciples there in the garden, put aside your swords. Don't you realize that I could right now ask my Father, and he would give me more than 12 legions of angels? And if we consider a legion to be 6,000, that would be 72,000 angels. On a moment's notice, Jesus Christ could ask the Father and receive help from 72,000 angels that have access here to this earth on which we live. Beings, created by God, that have access to the earth here. In Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we find that Satan himself has free access to the earth here on which we live. Job chapter 1, verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And so Satan says here in this verse that he had just taken a stroll around the earth and look things over, and God then asked him if he had considered his servant Job. And so we find that Satan has access, free access, to the earth and also to the heavens. Satan has access to both places, and we find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And also in John chapter 14, he's called the prince of this world. And so he is the leader of the celestial powers that influence this earth in ways that sometimes we do not even consider, we don't think about. The prince of the power of the air, the heavens round about us, he has access to them, and he is their prince. The earth itself, he is the prince of the kings of this earth. We find this in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21, we find a reference to satanic powers. Daniel 9 and verse 21, "Yea," Daniel says, "while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." Here we have Gabriel, one of the angels of God, caused to fly swiftly and come to Daniel. We find then in verses 10, chapter 10 and verses 10 to 13. "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And then we find verses 20 and 21 of the same chapter. "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince." So we find here spiritual battles between God's emissaries and satanic powers that influence the universe round about us, that influence our very own earth and the kings and authorities here upon earth as well. Celestial battles that take place behind the earthly wars that we see. Now, one of the things that occurs to us then is, well, where is heaven then? Where is God's residence? Now, of course, as Solomon said in 1 Kings 8:27, the heaven and heavens of the heavens cannot contain thee. God does not have a localized residence. Nevertheless, God does choose to localize his presence at times, as he did at Jerusalem, for example. And he promised Solomon, my presence will be here in this place. And I believe that in heavenly places, God, although he is infinite in presence, he is omnipresent, he is at all in all places at all times, still, I believe that there is a localized place, and where Jesus said he went to prepare a place for us. And we find in several scriptures, in Nehemiah 9:6, for example, it says, thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens and all their hosts. Indicating perhaps there is a special place. And the same in Job 26:7, we read, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place. And astronomers have wondered about this. Why this empty place in the north? If you were to take a coin and hold this coin at arm's length and look up into the sky, that coin would hide from your view approximately 15 million stars. They would be blocked from your view by that one coin. Nevertheless, when you turn to the north, you find a place in the north where you can hold up that coin and it would block nothing. And so we wonder, perhaps, is there an empty area there in the north? Does it have some significance? Would this perhaps be some type of freeway? Because scientists are concerned, of course, with space travel, with collision with other planets. Here we have an area that is wide open, an area that is empty. And we find in Scripture that there have been people already who have left this earth bodily. We read in Genesis that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God day by day, and one day God said, Enoch, I'm going to take you home with me. And they just walked right on up to heaven. We find Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. Elijah was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire. Now, here we have a biblical account of this. Elijah bodily, personally, taken up into heaven, in a chariot of fire. He left this world in a very visible manner. And we don't know which direction, but perhaps he took this freeway to the north. I think behind some of this also is the fact that the legends of Santa living at the North Pole. And this has become a legend. We find also in Scripture in Acts, the first chapter, that Christ ascended bodily. We read that he was with his disciples, they were talking with him, he was taken up from them and received into a cloud, and they didn't see him any longer. He went up bodily from them into the heavens. And Scripture also tells us, the very angel says to the disciples on that occasion, not to be afraid, because this very same Jesus, whom ye have seen go up into heaven, shall come in like manner. And so Jesus is going to come back again the very same way that he went, bodily. Now, during the end times, if this is an opening into the heavens, if this is a freeway, I can see in the end times where there's going to be a need, at least, for something like this. In the portion that we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 9, we read, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out of heaven into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, we read that Scripture tells us that Satan and all of his emissaries, his demons, are going to be cast down to the earth. I don't know how many millions of emissaries the devil has. He must have quite a few, because they certainly keep busy. They certainly are on hand at every moment. And so I'm sure it must not simply be thousands. It must be millions, or perhaps more, of emissaries that the devil has. They are going to be cast out onto the earth. That means there's going to have to be room for millions of beings to come to this earth as God casts them here. And he warns the earth, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath with all of his emissaries." A need for a way for these to come through. And I'm sure the earth is, at that time, is going to be a terrible place to be. But we also read in Scripture of another people movement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, speaking to the church in Thessalonica, makes the following statement: "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Paul tells us that all believers, living and dead, are going to be caught up into the heavens to meet the Lord and to go to be with him. Millions of people, all at one time, going to be with their Lord. He is coming, returning bodily, as he left. The angels with their shout and their trumpet, and the believers raised from the dead, and those who are living. Millions of people making a great exodus to be with their Lord in heaven. Imagine the traffic, the going and the coming. Millions will be leaving. But you know, the message that God has for us tonight, although millions will be leaving, not everybody will be leaving. Jesus says in John 14:2, "Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." As a result, God, in Acts chapter 17, commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent and believe the gospel. The Word of God tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not all are going to leave. Only those who have come to personal faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Now, the devil's future is unchangeable. His doom is certain. He knows even now what is awaiting him, that he is under the eternal wrath of God. The devil's future is fixed. But your future is not. Yours is still open to choice, and God has given you right now the opportunity to flee from the wrath to come. That's what Scripture tells us to do, to flee from the wrath to come. God is going to pour out his wrath upon this earth. And as he sends the devil and all of his demons to this earth, and is going to pour out his wrath upon this earth, God wants to save us from this wrath. He wants to save us from the sin that causes this wrath, the rebellion in our own hearts that makes it necessary for him to pour out his wrath upon the earth and upon those who refused his redemption. And so there's still time for you, and God has given you the opportunity, you and me, if you have not as yet taken this opportunity, during this life, to recognize him as God, to recognize ourselves as sinners, rebellious, worthy of eternal separation from him, and then recognize what he has done for us on the cross through his Son, giving his life that we might be saved. And so God's command to us tonight, as he warns us that the day of judgment is coming, there will be a grand exodus, and at the same time there will be a grand entrance of demon beings. God says to us tonight, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent of our sins and turn to him as Savior. Have you made this decision in your life? So we pray. Father, tonight we thank thee that we know that life is not limited to this earth, because you've told us that the Lord Jesus right now is in heaven, where he intercedes for those who have received him as personal Savior. We thank you, Father, that we know that the devil is real. We know that he is not happy, that he is angry, because he knows that he shall soon suffer the consequences of his rebellion. Father, we know that each individual person on this earth, that also in rebellion, with a rebellious attitude, refuses to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, to submit to him as Lord and Savior, to give his life to Jesus Christ, will also suffer that same fate, because this eternal condemnation is for the devil and all those who choose his way of rebellion against God. Lord, we thank thee that you have made a way whereby we may have fellowship with thee, whereby we may have forgiveness of sin. We pray tonight, Father, that those present in our service who have never received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, who have never turned their lives over to him, will do that at this time, and they will repent and believe the gospel. We thank you then for the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you for this promise. We know it's true. We pray that there might be those tonight who will cry unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close by singing number 199. Number 199, Come Every Soul by Sin Oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And perhaps tonight, as you have seen the baptismal service, perhaps as you have considered your relationship with God, you realize that your own heart is not in submission to him. You recognize that you have still maintained the control of your life. You have not submitted to him. You have not repented of this rebellion. God has spoken to your heart. We would invite you to slip out of your seat and come. There have been those tonight who have given public testimony through baptism of their faith in Christ. God is asking you tonight. God is in his word commanding you to repent and believe his gospel and receive his Son. Just slip out of your seat and come forward as we sing. Yield your life to Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Savior and Lord. Shall we stand and sing? 199.